We have any more prayer requests? Okay, I need a couple people to help me with the communion. Oh Lord, have help me. One of these days I'm going to get me an altar boy that wears a suit and tie and some nice shoes. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus went through for us. We thank you for that sacrifice. When we take that communion, we see him in that sacrifice. We see him on the cross. We see his body beaten and bruised. And we see those stripes on his back. And we see where he had been pierced, not only in his side, but through his hands and his feet and in his scalp. Father, we see him taking all of our sins, all of our sicknesses on him. We see his broken body. Father, we thank you for this sacrifice. And we thank you that it was for us. We thank you that we partake of that Holy Communion and receive healing in our bodies. We thank you for this. And we receive it in Jesus' name. That blood of Jesus is still alive today. You know something? If you poke me and I start bleeding and it hits the sidewalk, that blood's going to dry up and blow away. But not the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus had no sin in it. There's no death in it. That blood is still alive today, and it's as powerful today as it was the day that it got shed. So when you got born again, the blood of Jesus washed away all your sins and made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, you're in right standing with God. Everything that was wrong between you and God got washed away by the blood of Jesus. And he forgave all your sins. All of them. I mean, he forgave your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. Now, how on earth could I say that he could forgive your future sins? Here's a heavy revy for you. Unless you were standing at the cross when Jesus died, all of your sins were future sins. He took care of the sin problem. 1 John 1:7 says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sins. It's a continual cleansing. It's a waterfall of forgiveness. Amen? It's the blood of Jesus, not your confession. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all sin. Amen? We thank you for this. Oh. You know what 747 is, Trevor?
Let's see, is that a plane?
No. It is, but not really. It's one of the most important verses you'll run across in the Bible. Look at Luke chapter 7, verse 47. You know, Jesus had a really cool way of talking to people. He talked to farmers about sowing seed. He talked to sheep herders about herding sheep. He talked to fishermen about catching fish. He talked to carpenters about building stuff. You know something? He didn't come at them with some fancy terminology. There's a lot of people running around using a lot of fancy words, and they don't say anything. You know, I've watched a lot of different preachers now, and I've seen a lot of preachers that could scream and holler really loud, and they didn't say nothing. I've seen a lot of preachers that go through a lot of philanthropies, even carry a napkin around on their, patting their forehead. Sometimes they don't say anything. Seen preachers run around and be crazy and they still don't say anything. A lot of preachers have gotten away from the cross of Christ. The true heart of the Bible. They've stepped away because they don't believe that the basics in the Bible work today. Luke chapter 7 verse 47 says, "Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." That's an interesting verse. I noticed a lot of times there's some people that have lived some really interesting lives. And when they find out that they're off the hook with God, you know, when they find out they're not going to go to hell, I promise you, I thought I was a dead man. Every day of my life, I'd wake up and I'd say, "I'm one step closer to hell." It felt like I had one foot in the fire already. And I didn't want to see any preachers. I was tired of them telling me I was going to go to hell. And somebody said, "Hey, you ever heard of Ray Lyons, Crystal Lyons, Glenn Smith?" I said, "No, I ain't heard none of them guys." I said, "Well, they're going to have a Cowboy church service up at Hewlett." Nobody cares nothing about no cowboys. They said, "Well, you ought to go up there." And I thought, "Well, what harm could a cowboy preacher do?" I don't know. So I went up there, and Glenn Smith said, "You do not have to go to hell. If you'll ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you will not go to hell." And I thought, "Well, I'm in." That was the first time anybody ever told me that. That was the first time anybody ever told me. You know why I got born again? Because I don't want to go to hell. And I've seen people write out long essays on why they got born again, because they loved God so much, because they couldn't prove him wrong in the Bible and all this other crap. They'd be honest, they got born again because they don't want to go to hell.
Amen.
Amen? And we were not capable of loving God till we found out that our sins were forgiven. Amen. I want you to see something in Ephesians chapter 2. Hold your finger there in Luke, because we're going to come right back there. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's a real challenge there with the pride of man, the flesh of man, that wants to do something to cause his salvation to come about. I'm going to tell you something. The only way to salvation is through Christ. Salvation, that word, must be preached. Salvation, not just born again. Salvation. If you look up that word in the concordance, it takes us about 28 English words to describe that one word. You know, when God started talking to Jews about salvation, they get this great big picture in their head of what this word, what's this one word meant. And we think we could describe it in one word. It takes a lot of words to describe that word. Basically, everything a man needs. Unfortunately, the church world has got it reduced down to born again. That's not good. And there's big church fights and denominational splits over this word. You know, because there's one group of us that say, oh, you're once saved, you're always saved. You know, there's some say you got to work out your own salvation. You ain't going to be saved until you get to heaven. I'm going to tell you something. You are saved. The minute you get born again, you're saved. You're going to go to heaven. Amen? But we're talking about salvation. You know, in it has deliverance, protection and healing, everything a man needs. I'm not done being healed. I'm not done being delivered. I'm not done being protected. That means I'm not done being saved. I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven. But here's the deal. Salvation is for me right here and now too. Amen? I'm not done being healed. And then I will be saved when I get to heaven. Jesus is going to complete my redemption. Yeah. Amen. When I see Him face to face, it's going to be done. So you are saved, and you are being saved, and you will be saved. Yeah? No reason to be fighting all these different things. Let's celebrate salvation. Amen? Now, let's get back over here to Luke chapter 7. And we'll start at verse 36. What does Jesus have to say about forgiveness? We learn a lot from this account right here. What Jesus has to say about forgiveness. But Luke chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. Now let's stop right there for just a second. That's not just an old time account. That happens today. That happens today. The church is rampant with it. You know, something I drive religious people absolutely stark raving crazy, because there's a lot of times I just really don't care what somebody's past is. If they need help, I'm going to talk to them. Amen? I don't care if they don't believe in God or not. I don't care if they're drunk. And neither should you. I don't care. These people are valuable to God.
Amen.
You know, sometimes the church doesn't like to rub elbows with non-believers. But I'm going to tell you something. It's because sometimes some of the church does rub elbows with non-believers, that some of these non-believers get born again. Amen? And it's not because you get them cornered and whip on them and preach the gospel to them. It's because you show them Jesus. You show them Jesus. How do you do that? Pray for people. Let them see Jesus in action. It's really cool when people, they're watching you. Did you know that? And it's really cool that when people see you pray for somebody and something happens in that person's life and they come up to you and they say, I've never seen God do anything in my life, but I've seen that. And it changes their life. One guy told me one time, he said, you should preach the gospel every day, and if you have to, use words. And I said, buddy, I can't even make it down the hallway without making a mistake. How am I going to do that? And I mean, that was just one walking mistake after another. And I didn't think about that verse for long. I didn't think what that guy told me for a long time. And then I was in Bible school one day, and my pastor called me, and he said, do you know so-and-so? And I said, kind of. I don't know. I'm never dealing with them. But he said, well, they came to church, and they said, you know Skeet, don't you? And he said, well, yeah, I know him. He said, well, we knew him before Jesus and we knew him after Jesus. Whatever you did to him, do that to us. Let your light so shine before men that they see it. Amen. You don't have to be an undercover Christian. Let your light shine before men. But here's this man, this Pharisee, he got indignant because this woman, who was a sinner, was over there worshiping Jesus. You know, he was a sinner too. I don't care what position he held in the local church, he was still a sinner. But Jesus didn't come to save the righteous. Did you know that? He came to seek and save sinners. Praise God. Amen. Now let's carry on here. I have somewhat to say to you. He said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. He said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. They that sat at meat with him began to say with themselves, who is this that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now this Pharisee was depending on his own works to save him. And he thought he was just going to get a few more brownie points because he had Jesus come in there to eat. And I want to tell you something. Your own activities, your own works are not going to give you one more brownie point with God at all. Amen. Your righteousness is solely dependent on the shed blood of Jesus. And here's the kicker. Your favor, your blessing, your healing, and everything else is solely dependent on your righteousness that is in God, that is in Christ Jesus. Yeah? Because you're in right standing with God, you qualify for everything that He has. And it's only because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? Not your works. Not your activities. Jesus freely forgave. He freely forgave. He knew what this woman was. He knew who she was. And He forgave her anyway. The woman loved Jesus much because she knew she had been forgiven much. You know, sometimes people know they're sinners. People know they're doing wrong. People know they're going to hell. And they're frustrated because they don't know how to stop it. And I'll tell you what really frustrates them is when church people come up to them and say, you need to quit drinking, quit smoking, quit running around with wild women, and go marry some young girl and go to church. What they're doing is telling them, you need to quit fulfilling the lust of the flesh so that you can walk in the Spirit. Well, they got that verse in reverse. The Bible tells us you need to walk in the Spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How are they going to walk in the Spirit if they don't know the Spirit? You know how many hardcore alcoholics I've told to have a drink and come to church? A bunch. And some of them took me up on it. And they said, you just come sit by me. That can keep the old religious bats off of their butt. And here's the thing, you know, you don't want them dying before they have a chance to get the Word of God in them. You know? Sometimes they'll go into shakes, into DTs. Keep them calm. Let God preach to them. Amen? Let God get His word into them. He can change things. He can change things from the inside out that we can't even begin to imagine. You know something, in all truth, no one has been forgiven little. Nobody has been forgiven little. We've all been forgiven much. You know, you could have been a perfect little kid that didn't do any of the don'ts and did all the do's, never missed Sunday school, never missed church, grew up and got straight A's in school and did everything you were supposed to do, got married, and then got born again. But see, just the very fact that you have Adam's blood coursing through your veins means that you're guilty before God and that you need a Savior. Amen? And Jesus is the only one that can save you. Amen? We've all been forgiven much. Just the very fact that you got Adam's blood coursing through your veins qualifies you to get on the cross. That was our punishment. But Jesus took that for us. Amen? Let's look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, I know I've told you this before. But whenever you're reading the Bible, you need to make sure who's talking and who they're talking to. And very importantly, what side of the cross did they say this on? Because this really matters a lot. This is the infallible Word of God right here. And this is Jesus Himself saying this. So it's the truth. 100% the truth. But it doesn't apply to you. It's the law. Jesus had to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law. And when he was talking to Pharisees, he had to preach the law to them. What did they say after the cross? Said, believe the love that God has for you. I promise that probably everybody in here, if you've been hung around in church world very long, you've heard somebody say, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body. If you loved God, you'd be out on the mission field. If you loved God, you'd be witnessing down the street. If you loved God, you'd do this. If you loved God, you'd do that. You need to love God more, brother. I promise you, you're going to fail. Why? Because it's the law. And they'll say, examine yourself before you take communion. You'll sit there and you say, did I do anything wrong? They will say, you didn't love your neighbor like you should. You know what the devil's favorite weapon to beat up Christians with is? The law. Because he knows that if he can get you in condemnation, he can get you in doubt. And if he can get you in doubt, then he has you. We're not going to buy into that nonsense. The most dangerous thing about this doctrine of complete forgiveness is you will fall in love with Jesus and end up effortlessly fulfilling the greatest commandment. When you find out he's not mad at you, when you find out that the blood of Jesus washed away what was wrong, it's like, my God, how can I not love Jesus? The Bible, in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, tells us that the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. When you got born again, that's something that happens. You find out that you're forgiven, the love thing's going to come easy. Amen? What is grace? It's basically God's life, power, and righteousness given to us by unmerited favor. But the really important question that you need to ask yourself is, who is grace? Look at John chapter 1, verse 17. I'm going to go there. I'm going to read it right out of the Bible for you. John chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For the law was given by Moses." The law was given by Moses. "But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Jesus is grace. He is grace. He is grace and truth. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is what we are to cast our attention on. The Bible tells us to believe on Him. How do you believe on Him? Look at what He did for you in His death, burial, and His resurrection. Look at what He did through all of His passion. Believe what He did for you. Look at the new creation realities, what He made you. Look at those and believe them. Believe that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Believe that you're in right standing. Believe that you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. These are things that He did for you at the new birth. Boom! The minute you got born again, instantly believe that you are joint heir with Christ Jesus. Believe that God has freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. Believe these things that He did in you. That's the new creation realities. That is how you believe on Him. You know, I had such a good time at the Pastor Appreciation Day. That was a good party. And I was so blessed, abundantly blessed. And I want you all to receive a blessing back. Just raise your hands and receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you with the same quality, the same quantity, the same favor and abundance, the same consideration and thoughtfulness, the same consistency and frequency that you would have me blessed with. In Jesus' name, receive your blessing. We thank You for this. Father, we thank You for everything that Jesus has done for us in His death, burial, and His resurrection. We thank You, Father, for everything that Jesus is doing for us now as our high priest at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, His saints, taking our prayers and making them perfect before the Father. We thank You for everything that He will do for us when He completes our redemption, when we see Him face to face, we see Him as He is. In Jesus' name, we thank You. Amen. Well, all right, we have coffee and fellowship and snacks back here. Everybody welcome to come back and fellowship and visit a little bit. Oh, we got Dennis.